Greetings and welcome to our online service. My name is Duncan. I'm one of the pastors here at Durban North Community Church, and it's my joy to welcome you to this new series in the Gospel of John. And so now you know a little bit of who I am, but you don't really know me, do you? I mean, there's actually a very small group of people in the world who really know who I am. I'd say probably the person who knows me best is my wife. We've been together for nearly 20 years. So pray for her, but she knows stuff about me that nobody else knows. And she's seen more of me than anybody else. And then maybe I'd say probably my parents know me pretty well. They were there the day I was born. So we've been through some stuff together. My son and my daughter, they would probably say they know me pretty well. After a year of working with my coworkers here at the church, we know each other pretty well. But there are these degrees of knowledge of how much you know a person. You'll know that there are some people who know you, who you know really well, and there are others that are just sort of casual acquaintances. And I want to ask you this question: how well do you know Jesus? Maybe you know some stuff about him. Maybe you've heard some things. Maybe you've read some things or had some experiences. Do you really know Jesus? So as we start this journey through the Gospel of John, this is what we are hoping, is that you would come to know Jesus and to know him more intimately than you do right now. Not just to know a couple of things, it's not about facts, but that you would have a revelation, an intimate revelation of who Jesus is, because that's what the Gospel of John is all about. So if you've got your Bibles, won't you turn with me to the Gospel of John? It's the fourth book in the New Testament. And as you're turning there, you may or may not know this, but John is one of four Gospels that are written. And the Gospels are eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and his ministry, written by people that were actually there, or at least written by people who speak to those who were actually there. And the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are known as the Synoptic Gospels. And although they have their own differences and their particular sort of focal points, they're very similar and share a lot of the same content. In fact, there are sections of those three Gospels that are, in fact, word for word, the same as one another. But John's Gospel is the last of all of them to be written. And it is quite unique. While Matthew and Mark and Luke are primarily focused on what Jesus said and what Jesus did, John's Gospel is about who Jesus is. And so as we start there, just remember that this is what John is trying to reveal to us, the identity of Jesus Christ. Now, before we get into chapter 1, put your finger in chapter 1, verse 1. We'll get there in a moment. But I just want to say something about the nature of John's Gospel. I don't know if you remember back in school days when you had to write an essay. An essay always has three parts to it. There's an introduction, a body, and then a conclusion. And in the introduction, you want to tell the reader what it is that you're hoping to prove or achieve by this essay. Is there a question that you want to answer? Is there some study that you want to come to some sort of a conclusion or a point that you want to prove? And that's all supposed to be spoken out in the introduction. And then the body is about how you go around answering that question or proving that point. And then in your conclusion, you kind of summarize everything and share what it is that you've learned through this essay, through the study, whatever it is. But John kind of does things the wrong way around. The beginning of the book of John is actually what he's concluded about the nature and the character and the identity of Jesus. And you'll see in a moment as we open that. He then goes through the rest of the book, trying to unpack how he came to that conclusion. And then right at the end, he gives us what probably could have been the introduction, telling us why he's writing this. So I want us to actually start right at the end of the Gospel of John. We're going to chapter 20 and verse 30. And listen to what he says here. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So it's a two-sided purpose that John has behind writing his book. Firstly, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that you may have life in his name. This is what John wants for you when you read his book. He's absolutely trying to convince you that Jesus is the Son of God. And his heart's desire is that you may have life in Jesus Christ. Not just a better life here and now, but eternal, everlasting life, which is exactly what the purpose of the gospel is all about. And I want to say to you that this is exactly what we want as well. This is what I want for you. This is why I'm preaching this message. This is why I preach every message. This is why I do what I do. It's why we exist as a church. And it's our longing and our heart's desire that you too might come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by his name and through his name that you will have life. Absolutely 100% is what we want. And we are trying to convert you. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a follower, maybe somebody has forwarded this message to you in the hopes that you're going to watch it. I guarantee they're putting this in your hands. They've tagged you in this video because they want that for you, that you would come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and in his name you would have life. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get into chapter 1, the introduction that's actually the conclusion. So John chapter 1 from verse 1. And he starts off like this. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Now let's just take another pause right there. In the beginning was the Word. Why does John refer to Jesus as the Word? He's speaking immediately about Jesus. Why the Word? What is it about the Word that is descriptive of what Jesus is? Well, if you think of what words are in their purest form, a word is the expression of the mind or the will of a person. From a very early age, we learn to use words to verbalize what it is on our hearts. We say to our parents, no, or yes, or give, or whatever it is, so that they understand what's on our hearts and what's on our minds. Jesus is the perfect expression of God's will and mind. A child was asked, why do you think Jesus was called the Word? And she answered in a simple way, well, maybe that's all that God really wanted to say. The Word, Jesus Christ, the perfect expression of the mind and will of God. But let's continue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow, what an amazing way to open this book. Four unbelievable claims. Well, I hope they're not unbelievable. We want to convince you that they are. But incredible claims that John makes about the identity of Jesus in those first five verses. He firstly says this, and you cannot escape what he's saying here. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is not a good person sent by God. He's not a prophet. He's not an angel. He's not partly God. Jesus is God. That's an amazing claim to make. And secondly, he says this, that Jesus is eternal. Jesus was not created. He's not X amount of years old. He has always been. Unlike us, unlike you and me who are created and finite, we had a beginning. Again, what a radical thing for John to say about another human being. The third thing he says is that Jesus created all things. Nothing has been created except by the hands of Jesus, out of the mind and the words spoken by God and Jesus. Jesus created every single thing that exists. He breathed life into our universe. He breathed life into you and everything else, so we know. And then the fourth thing he says is that Jesus is in fact the source of life and light that we have in the world today. That everything exists in him and all things come together in him and are sustained by him. And in fact, he is the light of life. In other words, the way we live our lives is only because he is the light that guides us and shows us how to live. These are some incredible claims about this identity of Jesus. But then he goes on to describe what it is that this word, Jesus, what does he come to do? So from verse 9 of chapter 1, The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the mission of Jesus Christ, is that he has come to his own world, to those which belong to him, created by his own hand, who have rejected him. And we have. All of us have sinned and fallen away from God. We've turned from him. We don't live to please him. But Jesus has come to put that right. And even though most will reject him, there will be some who will put their faith in him, believe in him, and find life as we are reconnected with our Heavenly Father, to be called once again sons and daughters, children of God, born again. This is Jesus' mission. God come to reconcile us with him. And the last amazing thing I want to just talk about this morning is how Jesus accomplishes this mission. And that is by what we call the incarnation. Verse 14, still in chapter 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jump to verse 16. Out of his fullness, we've all received grace in place of grace already. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So what is this talking about here? Well, if you can cast your mind back, those of you who followed some of our video series, towards the end of last year, we looked at Exodus and this amazing man Moses and his relationship with God. But you may remember the time when Moses on the mountain with the Lord cries out to God in earnest prayer. He says, Lord, show me your glory. In other words, I want to see who you are. I want to see you face to face. But God says you can't. God says, Moses, I cannot show you my face, otherwise you'll die. I'm too holy and you're too unrighteous. You're too sinful. But God makes a way for Moses and the people of Israel to have a relationship with him, to be reconciled with him, at least to a degree, through what he calls the tabernacle. And it's a tent and a sacrificial system that happens in the tabernacle that reconciles man with God and helps him to deal with their sin, that God can be with them in their camp. But Jesus takes it a step further. In fact, that word in verse 14, where it says he made his dwelling among us, is the word tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. In fact, he comes to be a better tabernacle. He is the perfect presence of God. God has found a way to be with us that we might be reconciled to him and see his glory expressed in Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever seen God face to face. But if you know Jesus, you know God. Amazing thought, isn't it? The amazing thing as well about this is that Jesus' mission is absolutely successful. And John's told us all of that stuff up front in those first 18 verses. Jesus, who he is, why he came, and how he did it, how he has accomplished it, reconciling man to God again. And so what follows over the next 20 chapters is John explaining how he came to those conclusions and showing us evidence through many different events that happen. And in fact, through the rest of chapter 1, John shows us already the unraveling of this identity of Jesus. Jesus is given 7 titles in chapter 1 by various people, including what he speaks of about himself. But in chapter 1 alone, he's called these 7 things. He's called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He's called the Son of God, which means God's equal. He's called a rabbi or teacher. He's called Messiah, who's the promised one who would come. He's called Jesus of Nazareth, just rooting him in his humanity. He's called the King of Israel. He's called the Son of Man. And I don't have time to unpack all of these titles, but one commentator that I read just puts this all together, and he says already in this first chapter, we get given this strong message And that is this, that the fully human Jesus from Nazareth is the messianic king and the teacher of Israel, the Son of God who will die for the sins of the world. What an extraordinary claim this is. And I want to ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe these things that are being said about him? There may be many of you who've already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're already in relationship with him. And that's fine, but there may be a lot of you, I hope there are some of you who are watching this video or you're listening to this somewhere, and you've not yet made up your mind about what you believe about Jesus. You're not yet convinced that he's all these things. But the one group of listeners and viewers that I want to eliminate here are those of you who think you know something about Jesus, but you're not sure you believe all of it. So you're willing to trust some of it, but not all of it. I want to tell you, you do not have that option. You need to look at what's being claimed here through these verses, that Jesus is God. There's no other two ways of translating that or understanding it. You cannot simply look at Jesus' life and these claims and the message of the gospel and kind of half-heartedly accept it. You cannot do that. Either you must discard all of it, or you must accept all of it, fall down at his feet and worship him and give him every ounce of your being for the rest of your life. That is what he is worth. But this whole half-hearted thing, I'm kind of a believer, but I don't accept it all. That is total nonsense. Now, again, if you're one of these people that are investigating Jesus, you're not convinced yet, and you've got a lot of questions to ask, may I encourage you to join us for the rest of the study through the Gospel of John? I think many of your questions will be answered through the text, and it's my hope as well that we'll be able to convince you, not because I'm so clever or any of us are so clever that we can twist your mind and your will, but because we believe God's on our side in this as well. And that he will reveal himself to you through his word, the Bible. Trek with us for the next couple of weeks, all the way up to and including our Easter celebrations. And maybe you will learn what it is that you're looking for. You'll find answers to the questions that you're asking. And again, if you're already a believer, I want to encourage you as well to jump into this with both feet so that you too can know Jesus truly, deeply and more intimately than you've ever known him before. So here's a couple of things that will help you as you do jump in with both feet with us. Firstly, besides this weekly teaching, so every Sunday we're talking through the Gospel of John, we have a daily breakfast bite. So Monday through Friday, a 5-minute little audio clip that comes through our WhatsApp group, and it's teaching again out of John and joining John in his mission to show us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if you're not a part yet of that and you don't get the breakfast bites, please get hold of us on our website or even respond to this Facebook video and we'll make a way and we'll get those to you via your cell phone and you can keep up with us on a daily basis. But the second thing we have is we've got a bunch of small groups that meet at the church to study the Bible together in community. It's one of the great ways of learning what the Bible says is just in community with other people. Now, under normal circumstances, those groups would meet in homes around the Durban North area, or some of them here at the church. We aren't able to do that just yet, so some of those groups are meeting online via things like Zoom and WhatsApp. And if you're keen to get involved in one of those groups, please, again, contact us, dncc.org.za, and we'll try and connect you with a group so you can get started as soon as possible. And hopefully, in the months to come, we will be able to have those face-to-face Bible studies again. And then thirdly, I want to throw something else out to our young families. Hey, with the restrictions we're under at the moment, we are unable to have children's ministry, Sunday school like we would normally do. And moms and dads, it's really up to you right now to make sure that your kids, and maybe grannies and grandpas as well, your grandkids are getting spiritually fed. And so we provided an extra resource, which we call a Family Bible Hour. And that's going to be starting from this week. We're encouraging you as young families to connect around God's word for an hour. Again, get hold of us on our website and we'll give you the resources to get you going. It's going to be a lot of fun. But to put that time aside to learn together, to laugh together, to pray together, and grow together in your understanding God's word and who Jesus is. So again, whether you know him already, whether you like to know him better, I encourage you to take full advantage of God's word and to work through the Gospel of John with us. If you've got any questions, any way we can come alongside you, we are more than willing to help. It is our passion. It is our heart's desire. And I'll say it just one last time, that you come to know Jesus Christ as the Son of God and that you have life in his name. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is timeless. I thank you, Father God, that you have also prepared the hearts of every single person watching and listening today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll take my words now and that they would find fertile soil and that there would be hearts that are changed and folks who come to know you as the Son of God and to believe in you and find life in you. That's all we want. Lord, I pray for every household that's going to be opening your word, every individual who will be spending time listening to your word and praying and seeking your face, that you would reveal yourself to each one of us, that we might know you more deeply. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.